Welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. This episode is about celebrating the RHS Chelsea Flower Show with the Dobbies team. For the first time in its 108-year history, the show was held in September, which gave exhibitors the chance to showcase plants that would not normally be seen in May. Today we are going to be discussing some of our favourite gardens, identifying a few of the key horticultural trends, and of course diving into Dobby's very own five-star garden, which incidentally got the celebrity seal of approval from Dame Judi Dench and Alexandra Burke, to name but a few. I'm delighted to be joined by Dobby's horticultural director, Marcus Isles, and Dobby's ambassador, Henry Agg. Welcome to you both.
Hi Louise, great to be back.
Hi Louise, thanks for having me and looking forward to the discussion today.
Yes, me too. There were 27 gardens at this year's Chelsea Flower Show, including feature gardens, show gardens, sanctuary gardens, artisan gardens, container gardens, and for the first time, balcony gardens. Something there for everyone. You can't fail to leave Chelsea without ideas and inspiration for your own garden, no matter what its size, because there are heaps of take-home ideas all around the show. But Marcus, firstly, I must congratulate you. We all congratulate Dobby's on their five-star accolade for their beautiful stand this year.
Thanks very much, Louise. It was a fantastic award to get, and it was a real team effort. There were so many people across the stores and from our central office that all got involved, so really good.
Yeah, well done to everybody. Well, could you give us a little rundown on the key themes of Dobby's stand and an idea of how you managed to blend them all together to make such a beautiful garden?
So the key theme was really trying to create a garden that people could relate to bring together all the different categories of plants that we sell. So house plants through outdoor plants and grow your own. And that's quite a difficult thing because normally people think of those things all being in different locations. But because of the way that I designed the garden, it blended the whole thing together. We kept to one colour theme, which was really eye-catching in the garden. So with pops of different purple coloured leaves, which came through both in indoor with things like Begonia Rex and then with the beautiful heuchera that we had and sedums and echinaceas. And then also even in the living wall with different colours of lettuce and purple basil and things like that. So people really did take the garden as one design. And we also made sure that we had our sustainability message in there as well. So the central part of the garden, the real feature, was a selection of wildflower lawn. And then we had some bonsai trees as well that were also included in that to really be bringing home this thing about supporting pollinators in the garden and looking after the environment.
I love the way you use the verticals, and they'd be great for pollinators, of course. So on the outside with the indoor plants, and then, of course, the vegetables on the left-hand side. There was just so much going on in the verticals. It was beautiful.
Yeah, we certainly managed to squeeze a lot into a very small space.
You did.
But it all did blend together as one garden, which was really great.
It was lovely. And Henry, I believe this was your first visit to the Chelsea Flower Show. What were your favourite parts of the Dobby stand?
Well, firstly, I think the five-star accolade speaks for itself. The Dobby's stand really did have something for everyone. And for a fairly small space, it's quite hard to cater for that. We know there's a huge buzz around houseplants. People are exploring gardening more, but within the walls of their homes. So I think Dobby's stand really did show people what they can do to green up their homes with living walls, with hanging coir pots, with potted succulents, all integrated with really clever furnishings and festoon lighting. So that part of the stand was truly fantastic. For me, the outdoor section was my favorite part, as this is where my passion is today. So the underlying theme around gardening sustainably and choosing different options, so having a wood chip path as opposed to hard landscaping alternatives, or creating a wildflower lawn versus a well manicured lawn, or if you're to use paving, then use less of it and create planting pockets between the flagstones. These are just examples that were on display, but they're all choices that we can make to achieve a more sustainable garden. And actually, the more I reflected on the garden, the more I drew similarities to how I garden at home, because these are examples of what I've done in creating my new garden. So I love the theme. I love the borders surrounding the garden. And when I first stepped into the garden itself, you could hear all of the buzzing. There were bees smothering the sedums, and the color theme was really spot on. So it was truly kind of a pollinator's haven. finally, I think to echo Marcus's point, the wildflower centerpiece within the sort of center of the garden and the bonsai native trees was really a nice touch, because it's a much smaller scale version for people to imagine how they can recreate a wild native habitat in their own space. So yeah, I kind of loved all components, really.
It was fantastic and a kinder to nature garden. And I just agree with you so much that the weather was very kind for Chelsea this time. It was amazingly good. And at every single stand, there were insects and butterflies and moths flying around. It was just really fantastic. They find it so quickly. You plant it and they find it that quickly. But Marcus, I expect heaps of work goes into planning a stand at Chelsea. How far in advance did you and the team start working on it?
So you need at least 12 months, certainly, to get the design ideas together. You need to get that agreed as quickly as possible. And then, of course, you've got to start to get all the plants ready. So we have to work that far in advance with the nurseries to make sure that we've got all the plants that are all sown or have been planted into the correct containers so that we can get them to the right size. So we're full steam ahead, of course, because Chelsea moves back to May for next year. So we are already signing off all of that with the different nurseries and the design in readiness for next year's build.
Yes, it'll come around quicker than you think, won't it? And which suppliers and partners did you work with to create the look?
So I suppose the key feature which really caught people's eye was the glasshouse, the greenhouse, which was from pure greenhouses. That was
my favourite.
Yeah, it caused so much interest. It was a key element of what I needed for the garden, because we did want to break down the barriers between each of the sections. And once I'd seen pure greenhouse, which they have been at Chelsea before, but a couple of years ago, and I contacted Joe, who runs the company, and I said, that is exactly the greenhouse that I need, because it was completely frameless. So you can see right the way through from the houseplants into the main part of the garden. So that worked really well, really good feature. And we're hoping to be working long-term with Joe going forward. Then the paving, we used Talisse paving, really nice contemporary look of porcelain paving, really clean, easy to look after, a nice light colour. So it really brought some light colours into the background of the garden, which really then helped to set off the other plants and the other items that were in the garden. The backdrop was from a cedar fence from Contemporary Fencing. Beautiful fencing. When it went up, there was just this amazing fragrance of the cedar wood all the way around the garden.
Oh, how wonderful.
It just gave a really good, clean backdrop. It's really substantial. Yes. It's not the cheapest, of course, but it is a really decent quality fencing, and it gave us a wonderful foil to set the plants against. And then our sort of trading partners, so people that we trade with on a regular basis, are Evergreen and Westland supplied compost. Blooming Amazing we put down as the mulch, which is a wonderful soil improver and mulch, which we put around the garden. Carbon Gold working with us on soil improvers and things as well. And then all the nurseries that worked with us on the plants, so Allensmore Nurseries, Dibley's, so Allensmore Grow the Herbaceous, then Dibley's on the Streptocarpus and Begonia Rex that were in the living wall. Little Botanicals, which we had on the greenhouse, looking lovely in their containers. Floriac, our main houseplant supplier. And then the bonsai were from Heron's Bonsai, which is run by Peter Chan down in Lingfield in Surrey. Beautiful nursery, and he kindly allowed us to use those bonsai trees in the middle of the garden.
And the vegetable pods on the side?
So we also were working with Ergonomics, and that was for the containers. So that's a wonderful new system, which we're hopefully going to be promoting in the future. Really easy for everybody to use, caused a lot of attention from people looking at the stand, and then connected that to our living wall, which therefore means that you can utilise the vertical space in your garden and connect that to these ergonomic growing containers.
Yes, that's what I liked about them, because you could put things that can climb up from the pods, and you can stand there at waist height, which is so useful. You don't have to bend your back all the time. So what are the key items from the garden that you would recommend listeners buy so that they can recreate a slice of the Dobby's garden in their own plots?
So as it's an autumn Chelsea, of course, we are getting towards the end of the gardening season, but the herbaceous plants that we had on display in the garden, they were grown in their traditional flowering period. So a lot of those are still now available. So you can recreate that look in your garden. So the echinaceas, rudbeckias, some of the grasses, etc., are all there. So that was the main focus for people. They loved the different color combinations of oranges and purples. They were quite bold and very strong in comparison to some of the other stands. And of course, our houseplant range is constantly available. Most of those plants are available through the season as we run in towards Christmas. So that would be another key thing that I would be focusing on for people to be able to create the look in their own garden.
And Henry, do you have your eye on any of the items for your own garden?
Well, I was like a kid in a sweet shop, to be honest. I could have taken it all. From the houseplant section, I would love to recreate a living wall like that in my own house with the Streptocarpus, the ferns, the orchids. I really did kind of take to that jungle vibe. And in fact, my wife and I were going down to Dobby's on Friday morning to look at what we can do to spruce up the house a little bit based on what we've seen at Chelsea. So
I stood and looked at that living wall for a long time, and Marcus came around and found me, and I just was like, I love this.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, it's a real feature. And also it's one of those where it's a bit of a wow factor in the house as well. Outside, though, I would have all of those plants in the borders. I really liked the wildflower lawn as well. And I understand, I think I spoke to you, Marcus, about it, that you can buy that as a ready-made roll as you would with normal turf.
Yes, we're working on that for next year. So
yeah,
that should be available from spring.
And that really does give people a solid, instant foundation to work from to build a wildflower meadow, which is great. So that's a really nice touch. And then just to your point, you were talking about ergonomics. They were displaying their self-watering raised planters for growing your own. I had a good chat with them about the system. It's such a clever idea, a great way to grow a lot of food within a small, compact space. And with there being a big emphasis on small garden spaces and balcony gardening this year at Chelsea, I think that would be a fantastic setup for that exact environment. So to answer your question, I think if you could just ship me the lot,
the whole lot.
would be great.
We'll organize that.
Yeah.
It is great because it really does prove that you don't need a large garden to get everything in: vegetables, flowers, wildlife, you know, verticals with beautiful things on the walls. It's just amazing to see it all together. But it would be great to hear from both of you about your favorite gardens at the show. Marcus, what appealed to you?
I've got a few particular standouts. So the stand that got the best trade stand award was for Gaze Burville, which was an amazing stand.
Yes.
They're furniture manufacturers and suppliers, and they put a lot of effort in this year into the planting around their stand. They certainly did shine out as the most incredible selection of colours and different arrangements of plants. So that was a really good standout. Then looking inside the Great Pavilion, which was a little bit sparse because certain nurseries couldn't get their produce, of course, ready for this time of year. But Raymond Everson did an amazing display. And, you know, a lot of those clematis had to be tended and cared for to be able to get them to reflower for the autumn period. And that was a real standout for me. We do stock, of course, Raymond Everson's clematis during the spring. So look out for those. But that was a very, very colourful display. And he got several awards for that. And then Dibley's, again, who we work with, they did an amazing display of their Streptocarpus and Begonia Rex, all tiered up in these amazing colours, all blended together. And it was so eye-catching. It really did get my eye. And, you know, we work with them a lot. And there's a lot of new varieties as well that they were promoting there, which we'll be introducing in next year.
Yes, so much to see. And Henry, what about you? What were the best highlights for you?
Well, we're not going to duplicate, so that was good. Because everyone that Marcus just mentioned, I absolutely loved as well. I thought the clematis was just incredible inside the marquee. But there were so many, and it's hard to sort of choose favourites because I love components of a lot of the gardens. But for me, the sort of standouts that I come back to are the M&G garden and the Finding Our Way NHS tribute garden. The M&G garden, designed by Harris Bug Studio, was really cleverly done. It had kind of industrial pipework and steel that ran through the garden, the purpose really being about the importance of urban green spaces and how restorative shared gardens could have a massive, massive impact on communities. And they definitely got their message across. You didn't really need to even read it to know what they were trying to say. And I personally liked it because I love the industrial look. I love the idea of repurposing and reusing. I've done that in my garden with big steels that my neighbor was throwing out from the building work he recently had done. And I used those steels to create a platform for my seating area. So it's just a good example of that. The planting in that garden as well was fantastic. A wide range of herbaceous perennials, ones that will thrive in part shade, very subtle color tones, good use of grasses, lots of height from trees that will thrive in urban climate conditions like sea buckthorn, black gum, autumn olive, etc. So overall, I really liked that garden. But then the Finding Our Way NHS tribute garden was just so elegant. And that's the way I would describe it, really. It's just a beautiful garden to look at, a really relaxing space to immerse yourself. And the planting that surrounded this wooden oak canopy with curving edges, and within that, the canopy, you know, water was sort of plunging down the sides and then flowing all the way through the borders of the garden, a series of rills and small ponds, making everyone feel really connected with the space, which I think was the larger message there. And the planting around it just sets everything off. And being, you know, this time of year, there were lots of echinacea, there were some of my favorite dahlias. It was really kind of a feast for the eyes. So those two gardens were really, really quite stunning, and probably up there as my favorites for the show this year.
And when you say you liked lots of components in lots of different gardens, I think that's the whole essence of Chelsea, is that you walk around and you might not like the whole garden, but you'll like a corner of it. And you can take a small idea home and make that a feature of your own garden. A key element of the Dobby's garden was sustainability. So Marcus, do you have any top tips our listeners can adopt to create more eco-friendly gardens of their own?
Yes, for sure. The biggest thing in terms of our sustainability move is with peat-free compost. So we have now developed a full range, so every single one of our composts that we have sold over through history there is now a peat-free equivalent, through to all of the John Innes range, so 1, 2, and 3, and we have a John Innes with seed and also one for ericaceous as well. So that range is now available in store. That's been some time coming in the designing of the packaging and mixing the ingredients. So that's all available in store. The other practices really for the autumn period is to encourage people to do home composting as well. So we are really working on that, trying to provide more information for customers. We're just heading towards that major time of leaf drop and of pruning in gardens and tidying. And the best thing that you can do is just try and keep all of that material. It's all good organic matter. Keep it in your garden. Don't send it away. Try and produce your own compost, and also to support the environment and support wildlife to create little habitats for them to protect themselves over the winter. So putting collections of leaves and twigs, etc., underneath hedges is much better than cleaning everything up and going right the way back down to soil level, because then you reduce all of these habitat areas for the wildlife to shelter over the winter period.
Yes, that sounds a good idea. And with the first autumn Chelsea providing so much inspiration for gardeners, what handy autumn gardening tips can you suggest, Marcus?
So this time of year is all about trying to hold on to as much colour as possible. We probably are some time away, depending on where you're living in the UK, from getting any frost. So your plants are going to continue to flower and develop on some warm days. There is a bit of a nip in the air now, but I would encourage people to just keep deadheading, keeping things tidy, but also just allowing those last flowers and blooms to come through on your herbaceous. Maybe your roses are still flowering. I've seen a lot of geraniums looking really, really good. But the more that you deadhead, the more that those plants will continue to give you colour. Then it's also now, of course, preparation as the summer plants do start to go over. So preparing for those autumn splashes of colour with your winter pansies, violas, and also, of course, planting your spring flowering bulbs. So we're absolutely in peak season now for selling those. Stocks are limited, So we, you know, we are promoting those in store, the full range through crocuses, tulips, daffodils, etc. It won't be long. The stocks won't last probably until the end of October. So do get in as soon as you can to get the best selection. And then the time for planting those is now. Tulips you should plant a little later, but do buy them early and then save them and then start to plant them out in early November.
And Henry, do you have any plans for your garden this autumn?
Lots, loads of plans. But I just want to pick up on a point that Marcus said very quickly, just going back to promoting, you know, products within the Dobbies Garden Centres from a sustainability perspective, and the peat-free compost we've added, John Irons, that you supply. I've tried a lot of peat-free products, and it's kind of like kissing frogs to find the right one. But by far, this product that I've used is the best that I've seen out there in terms of moisture retention, in terms of actually giving young plants a good start to life. It's just a really good one, and it's great for hanging baskets, and it's great for pots too. So I really do highly recommend that. In terms of plans for autumn this year, for autumn, it's really a busy time for me. I'll mostly be planting. I've been building the garden all year now, and I'm finally at a place where I can start really thinking about how my borders and garden will look next year. So loads and loads of planting is going to happen, plenty of bulb planting as well. I'll also be mulching a lot. We live in Brighton, and the garden here is on a slope. Not only that, I garden on what would seem like the chalk cliffs of Dover. So you can imagine it's very free draining, very alkaline, and not much topsoil. So I really need to improve that over autumn and winter. So there'll be a lot of mulching happening over that time frame. I'll be planting some hedging as well to section off parts of the garden. So I'm just waiting for bare root season to really kick off so I can crack on with that. But yeah, it's going to be busy. And I think people often think it's a quiet time of year, autumn and winter for gardening. But that's kind of a big mistake, because it's really where the work begins. You know, you have a good autumn, you have a good winter, you lift and divide your plants, you plant bulbs, you do your composting, your mulching, your pruning, then you'll set yourself up for an even better spring and summer the following year. So that's my plan.
Well, it is the start of the season, September. It's professional gardeners all know it's the start of the season because it's the best time to plant, because all the plants are going to get water throughout the winter and the soil's relatively warm. So, and then as you say, you can get bare root plants pretty soon after that. So it is the start of the season. I think we all agree it was a fabulous show this year. Thank you both for all your creative input.
Thanks, Louise. It's been great.
Thanks, Louise.
Oh, thank you both. But that is all we have time for today. Thank you for listening, and be sure to visit Dobby's website, where you can find videos and content from the RHS Chelsea Flower Show, plus loads on Dobby's social channels. You can also see more of Henry's garden at Fanatical Gardening. Stay tuned for the next Dobby's podcast, which is coming soon.